Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Rolene Marks, how are you this afternoon?
I'm here. We're having a lot of gremlins trying to interfere with us. What is happening here?
I don't know. That's the question I generally ask you every day. But you know what, Rolene? Even with your technological issues, you still don't let us down. The worst that you've got on is like 30 seconds late, so it doesn't count. But let's not waste a minute. Let's get to what's happening in Israel this afternoon.
Well, we have to talk about what's happened with the IDF in the last 24 hours. And no sooner had we come off air yesterday when the IDF announced that they had discovered another tunnel in the south from Gaza into Israel. And although we're building this concrete barrier, this one went particularly deep. It originated in Khan Yunis, and you can be sure it was dealt with by the RDF on site. You know, just prior to that, we heard reports of some kind of engineering activity happening in the south, and Defense Minister Benny Gantz saying, you know, nothing to be alarmed at, nothing that will disturb, you know, daily life in Israel. And then it was subsequently announced they found this tunnel. So let's talk a little bit about these tunnels and what their intentions are. And even though Israel has destroyed nearly all of the tunnels in the north and in the south, and I had the dubious distinction of going down in one a couple of months ago while I was participating in a congress. It's absolutely claustrophobic and terrifying when you understand that they go really, really deep below the surface, and the intentions of building these tunnels was for Hamas or other operatives to come into Israel to either try and raid the nearby yeshuvim, the nearby, you know, towns, kibbutzim, moshavim, and maybe hold the civilians hostage, or to kidnap civilians and soldiers and take them back into Gaza. If you've watched the third season of Fargo, you would be familiar with that and how it works. Truly terrifying. We also have tunnels from Gaza into Egypt. Those have been either flooded with water or cement by the Egyptians, who will not tolerate the smuggling and the terror activity that takes place there. Also, shortly after we came off air last night, a rocket was fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel. This is absolutely predictable behavior from Hamas and other terror entities in the Gaza Strip because of yesterday's monumentous occasion with the Emiratis, the first official delegation to visit Israel to sign important treaties of cooperation. The rocket was intercepted by the Iron Dome, and the Israeli Air Force struck Hamas targets within the Gaza Strip. Coupled with that, we woke up this morning to news that there was an alleged strike on an Iranian militia base in the south of Syria last night. And we heard that it was basically, to quote our defense minister, he says, things happen. I could think of two other words he probably could have used, but for the purposes of family-friendly radio, we'll say he said things happen. And earlier today, the RDF sealed off the room of the killer of Staff Sergeant Amit Ben Igal. If you are familiar, earlier this year, a terrorist threw a big boulder at the soldier, killing him.
We've had two listeners weigh in this afternoon on the tunnel issue. Hamor saying, is it like a Swiss cheese, the border between Israel and Gaza, addressing the issue of cost. Clive also saying that apparently $3 million to build a tunnel, I don't know if that's correct or not, but clearly massive investments where they could be put to very good other use.
Yes, well, let's look at that, because that is a very important issue. These tunnels cost millions of dollars to build. First, I'm going to answer the Swiss cheese question. I do like that analogy, Swiss cheese. Prior to Operation Protective Edge, it was starting to resemble a Swiss cheese. We can't forget the reports coming in from Moshav Netiv Asara, the citizens of that Moshav, reported hearing like scratching coming from beneath the floors. People thought they were crazy until the RDF investigated and found that there was this network of tunnels underneath. The RDF had subsequently blown up the majority of these tunnels or have built this concrete barrier preventing these tunnels from getting into Israeli sovereign territory. And as I mentioned, I went down in one of the tunnels. This was with the RDF, with their permission and their what's the word I'm looking for in English, Simon, when you go with them, when they accompany you, with their accompaniment. There you go. English came to me. And this is a tunnel that is kept for the purposes of demonstrating to international delegations just how dangerous they are and that, you know, that we're not talking nonsense. They actually do exist. This particular tunnel came up in the middle of somebody's agricultural field in the south. That is just how dangerous they are. And if anyone's doubting what I'm saying, go watch the third season of Fowder. That's it gives you an indication. But it does cost millions of dollars to build these tunnels in cement. I won't say in manpower because very often they use child labor to dig these tunnels. But as Simon just said, and I think it was Clive, just imagine if you add up those millions of dollars, what could be bought with that? What kind of infrastructure, what kind of humanitarian aid could be given to the civilians of Gaza? And, you know, when people say Israel is keeping Gaza under humanitarian crisis conditions, you have to look at the fact that millions, if not billions, of dollars in aid has been given to the Gaza Strip and it has been squandered amongst things, bringing in weapons, building rockets and building these kinds of tunnels. And, you know, we see it now with the Arab world starting to get really, really frustrated and yes, fed up. Yes. With the amount of their money that has been squandered on this. And now we even start to hear from European countries saying, you know, that the time has come. You actually have to start taking responsibility for yourself. And this kind of action is not the responsible way to go about protecting your civilians.
Let's talk about Zoom and them apparently denying allowing certain people to use them as a platform. Yeah, what's the story?
Well, Zoom and other social media platforms are starting to clamp down on anti-Semitism, on Holocaust denial, on this kind of rhetoric. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we discussed the fact that the San Francisco State University were prohibited by Zoom for hosting an event featuring Leila Khaled. She's from the PFLP. She's also one of the terrorists that bought the World Airline hijacking. What a legacy. And Zoom said, absolutely not. She violates our terms of services, our community standards. And she actually also violates the American anti-terror laws. Subsequently, Facebook pulled that event off. And last week, we spoke about the fact that both Facebook and Twitter banned Holocaust denial. YouTube, the university eventually tried to start broadcasting the event via YouTube. YouTube pulled and pulled it down very quickly as well. Well, the University of Hawaii wanted to host a similar event using Zoom, and Zoom said, absolutely no way. We are not going to allow this to happen. And to quote their spokesperson saying that we will not allow you to contravene our community standards and our terms of service and agreement. So it looks like social media is saying no more to hate speech. And the man they call the special envoy on anti-Semitism, Ilan Karr, if you've ever have an opportunity to hear him speak, I highly, highly recommend it, saying that 1.7 million incidents of anti-Semitism posted on social media within the first 6 months of this year.
Yeah, I did see that, a horrific statistic. What I just don't understand is how Leila Khaled can fly in and out of the States and anywhere else for that matter. Do we know the answer to that question?
We don't know the answer to that question because she should be on a banned list.
That's what I'm thinking.
And it really doesn't help her cause when she sits on a plane and sniggers into her camera. Imagine who, what the person sitting next to me would think of me if they knew my history. She found that quite amusing. I don't think that airport security or anybody who travels finds that amusing at all. We certainly don't.
Rolene Marks, thank you for sorting out your technical issues and being with us like clockwork. Hopefully we'll get the same again tomorrow.
What can I say? Lipstick, sticky tape, and chewing gum. That's what holds us together, my friend.
We'll talk again tomorrow. We will in